I think that one of the greatest opening lines of any rock song was probably Honky Tonk Woman by the Rolling Stones. Catch this. I met a gin-soaked barroom queen in Memphis. That is so poetic, so beautiful. I met a gin-soaked barroom queen in Memphis. Boy, sometimes, you know, God inspires people to heights and depths and breadths and lengths and widths that humanity heretofore has never attained. Hello, ladies and gentlemen, this is Martin Zenner, and that is a perfect segue into my talk today on the Apostle Paul and how shocked he must have been, or how shocked he would be, I should say, if he were to return to earth today. Now, I've shared these thoughts of mine with several people in conferences, in meetings, and I don't know if I've ever shared this on audio or video. So if I have, if you've heard this, bear with me. I think it's fabulous. I think it's brilliant, even better than a gin-soaked barroom queen in Memphis, but only minimally, only marginally better than that. And I look at the faith of the Apostle Paul. That was the name of my talk in L.A. This is where I auditioned. I did audition it. It kind of was an audition. I launched this in L.A. back in October. Debuted, I guess, is the word I'm looking for. And my thought is that when Paul was in jail, he was desperate to pass his message on to someone who would be a faithful dispenser of the message. And the person in his mind was Timothy. And he's writing to Timothy from a Roman prison, not knowing whether his message was going to get out. Now, at this time, I mean, he knows certain people hold the message, but Paul's thinking long term. Now, at this time, there were maybe two copies of each of Paul's letters, talking the letter to the Corinthians, 1 and 2, Galatians, Ephesians. These letters, maybe only one copy in existence. And Paul sends them out, and he puts them in faithful hands. For instance, Phoebe took the letter of Romans from Corinth to Rome. What a woman. That was no bar-soaked, gin-soaked barroom queen in Memphis. No, that was a scripture-carrying spirit queen from Corinth, and she took the book of Romans. Imagine, the scroll of Romans to Rome. What a job that was. What an entry on your resume. But Paul doesn't know where it is. Where are his letters? He doesn't know. You know how you couldn't just take him to a FedEx and run him off. In fact, I went to a FedEx today to copy something. It was so complicated. You had to put your card in. You had to select all these things. It may have been easier to copy things by hand back in the day. So there were copyists back in that day. And there were maybe two copies. So Paul is writing to Timothy, and he's desperate because he thinks this thing's going to die. Everybody has forsaken him. He says that in the letter to Timothy, 2 Timothy. All in Asia forsook me. Luke alone is with me. Things are looking dire. Things are looking terrible. He's dedicated his life to publishing the message I hinted to you about on Friday, that a select group of human beings are being chosen out of the human race to help God bring everything, return all creation to him. Fantastic. Phenomenal. God can't wait to tell it to people. That's part of the secrets of God. Paul told secrets. Paul has secrets that he told that nobody knew about. And God was bursting at the seams to tell anyone what the cross meant. This is the message Paul got, what the cross meant, not just for Israel, but for the entire human race. Not just for the entire human race, but for the universe, for all those beings in there that came into existence with the following noise. So Paul got that message. And he was afraid that now it was going to go away. And he had to give it to a faithful man. And so he wrote to Timothy. He's dedicated his life to this. And he wants to make sure it goes forward. The only guy he can think of is Timothy. But Timothy's shaky. Timothy is on the brink. He's on the ropes. He's getting distracted. Something's happening with Timothy. Paul reminds him. He says, rekindle that thing that is in you, that was in you, that should be in you, that came through your grandma and your mother and all these nice women who introduced you to the truth. And Timothy was supposed to recall all the blessings he had and take it very seriously, a charge from this great apostle. Not too many people knew this guy was great. He's in jail, which is not a good thing if you're going to be a famous Bible person. Of course, now it's great. Great credential to be a famous Bible person, to have prison time. But back then, it was frowned upon that your leader is in jail. So Paul writes this letter to Timothy, hoping that he's going to get, rolls it up, hands it to a prison guard, doesn't even know if this letter is going to get to Timothy. And one day they call him up, it's time to die. And Paul puts his head on the chopping block. And for him, it's lights out. And he dedicated his entire life to Christ. He said, Christ alone stood with me. He says that in his letter to Timothy. He thinks it's going to go away. There's one guy on the edge. He's got to bring him back. It's Timothy. He hands a letter to a freaking Roman or maybe one of his friends. I don't know. And it says, please, whatever you do, get this to Timothy. And he dies not even knowing if the letter made it to Timothy. So sure of this man, of his work, so sure of his life, so sure of his mission. And so this is the main point. Trusting of God, he gives his work and his life into the hands of Christ, just like his master and savior himself did at the cross. Father, into your hands I commit my spirit. What was going to become of Jesus Christ's work? Well, Jesus Christ was going to have to die and raise again to find out. And he gave it all to God, who could safekeep it. So Paul basically gave his whole life's work over to God to safekeep it. Now, picture this. Paul comes back into this life. He's resurrected and he comes back here to 2016. I would love to, I want to be the first guy to get to him. Bring him right here. Bring him to my house in Fort Lauderdale. I'll take care of this, believe me. This is going to be fun. This is going to be great. I would show him my Bible. I'd say, he wouldn't even know what this was. I would take this book and I would open it. And I would open it to 2 Timothy. This is what I would do. He would sit there, he would look at this thing like, what's that? Because they didn't have any things like this that are bound, you see. You see that binding on the side? If you're looking at a studio cam, no, nobody, Paul, in his day, they never heard of this. So I would, without really playing my hand, I'm going to be a little coy. I'm going to turn to this page here. I'm going to turn here. I'm going to show him, geez, I'm disappearing there, the lighting. Sun's going in and out. This is what I'm going to show him this. You see this? 2 Timothy. I'm going to show him. He's going to say, 2 Timothy. And I'm going to start reading the words to him. And he's going to say, my letter, it got out. That's the first thing he's going to think of. My letter to Timothy made it. I will say, oh, it made it all right. It made it. And then I'm going to page through this book like this. And I'm going to show him all his letters. And he's going to say, oh my God, my letters are preserved. And I'm telling, I will make him aware that it's 2,000 years since he wrote them. And to him, it would be a miracle enough that his letters were remembered and preserved and bound in a book. That'd be the first time he'd realize that the letter to Timothy got there. I said, Paul, oh, it got there. Not only did that letter get there, but all your letters were collected. Not sure how, somebody collected them and they put them in a book. And it's bound. And Paul would be amazed to see that. He would say, he would praise God, raise his hands and praise. He did it. God was faithful to me. Then I would say, Paul, we're going to the Holiday Inn. And I would go to a Holiday Inn with a bar because, Paul, you're going to need a drink. You're going to have to need a drink for what I'm about to show Paul. So we're going to have a drink at the bar. I will order a Greyhound, which is a vodka with grapefruit juice. Paul will probably have wine. And then I would take him to a room at the Holiday Inn. And I would open the drawer. And I would show him what the Gideons have done. And he would look at it. And I'd show him again. Paul, look, your letters are here. What? My letters are here too? I said, Paul, your letters are in every room in this hotel. A copy of your letters are bound in a book in every room, in every drawer, in every room in this hotel. And by that time, He'd have to pour another glass of wine. So calm down, Paul. You haven't heard anything yet. You are the best-selling author on the planet Earth. The best-selling author. Your books are in every hotel room in this country. Then I Google map it. I show them the United States. This country's huge. Well, huge. It's bigger than Israel. Israel would fit into Rhode Island and Connecticut. And your letters are bound in every book. And now, not only that, Paul, but all over the world, you're the most famous author on the planet. Can you imagine how dumbfounded he would be? He died not even knowing if his letter to Timothy was going to get there. Not even realizing that Timothy, if Timothy was going to answer the bell, answer the call, answer the inspiration of this man. Oh, did he? He did. We have this. You know why we have this book? You know why we're reading Paul's letters? Do you know why I'm discussing this? Do you know why I'm doing the Roman series? Because of Timothy. You thought I was going to say Paul. Because of Timothy. Because that man was faithful. And he somehow made it happen. He got this stuff together. I don't know how he did it. But he answered the call. He got this letter in the mail one day. From an inmate. From a criminal. Pseudo, not a real criminal, a falsely accused criminal. And he took it seriously. And can you imagine the shock, the glee, the delight that God took Paul's little collection of letters that when he died, he didn't even know if they still existed. And he was faithful to preserve them. And then, of course, Paul's next statement would be unbelievable. Wow, everybody must be a believer. Everybody believes this message. That's fantastic. My message is everywhere. My message is, I'm the best-selling author, you said, Zender. Yes, best-selling author. Best-selling book, best-selling author. You're famous. They have a statue dedicated to you in Sao Paulo, Brazil. They named cities after you. Sao Paulo, Brazil. St. Paul. They named a city in Minnesota after you. They named cathedrals after you. I wouldn't take him to one. I would not take him to St. Paul's Cathedral in Rome. Ooh, no. Oh, St. Paul's in London. That's in London, right? St. Peter's in Rome. I would tell him your buddy Peter has a building in Rome. We're not going to go there because there ain't enough alcohol to prepare you for what's going on in those buildings, Paul. But I would say he would be excited. Oh, everybody gets my message, Paul. Your message is just as unknown as it was 2,000 years ago. And that would be the real shock. I'd probably order him another drink. Paul, have another drink. I got to tell you this. Your message is just as unknown today. Miraculously unknown in spite of the best-selling author status, New York Times bestseller list. Your message is unknown. Nobody knows it. And then Paul, I think, would gather his wits, and he would say, yeah, that figures. Yeah, that figures. Of course nobody knows it. And then we would toast, Paul and I would. We'd have a little toast. We'd have a little laugh, a little bit of a laugh. Hee-hee, a titter perhaps. And we would reminisce. And we would fellowship around this word, and Paul would thank me for continuing it, and I'd say, you're welcome. I would say you're welcome. I wouldn't say, no, it's all God. It's not me, Paul. Paul knows it's all God. But I would say, you're welcome, Paul. It hasn't been easy. And he would say, I hear you. I said, but you know, you were faithful, Paul. Paul's going to say, yeah, but you're faithful too. I said, yeah, you got a point. I am faithful. And Timothy, and then we would go on and on about Timothy. Timothy, oh, wow, that kid, wow. Did he come through for us or what? Yeah, Timothy came through for us. Good Timothy. So now, it's our turn. As my friend Clyde Pilkington says, he says, it's our turn. We're on the stage now. Because Paul has not come back. Paul, the thrill still awaits Paul. It still awaits him. Can you imagine? We are here because of him. He died not knowing any of us. He died alone. He died not knowing if everybody in Asia forsook him. We are here 2,000 years later as a testament to his work. Can you imagine the thrill he's going to have when he meets living letters? Be enough to see. It would be enough for him to see his letters bound. He's going to meet us. We are the living letters. What a thrill that's going to be. A thrill for us to meet him. But I believe an even bigger thrill for him to meet us.